In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we remember the glory of God that was shown on this day to a man on a sickbed. We see that Christ, our Lord and Savior, brought this man from an abysmal state of physical suffering, of course, healing him and restoring his body. Now, with what words did Christ heal this paralytic? It is, "Thy sins be forgiven me." Now, this means, if we look at it in light of what the fathers teach us, that the bodily paralysis in this case was indeed caused by sin. On a side note, we should realize that all maladies, whether they're physical, mental, or spiritual, have their root in sin. We should realize, just like the paralytic, even if we are not physically bound by such disease, oftentimes spiritually we are. We, like the paralytic and those transporting him, need to realize oftentimes the sin that afflicts us. And if we are quick to go to the cross, quick to beckon to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's often quick to heal. Maybe not necessarily the physical malady that we have, but what is more important, what is the inner condition of us at that point. Now, today's gospel, of course, emphasizes the detriment of sin and what its ultimate cure is. It's repentance. It's no wonder why the church has always made the holy mystery available to those who seek it, because it is truly the healing balm that saves us. After our baptismal promises are made, after we come out of the font of new creation, we have the propensity once again to sin, to fall into our old ways, or succumb to the ways of the world. So Jesus Christ, when we approach him, is quick to heal if we use the saving method of repentance. Archbishop Andre of Rockland, of blessed memory, tells us, "There is, of course, physical paralysis, but there is also spiritual paralysis. Being paralyzed physically, we want to do something, but either our hand or our foot does not move. But being spiritually paralyzed, even though we think it is difficult and we don't want to do anything, we lose heart. There is desire to fulfill the commandment of Christ, and yet we cannot in this condition. Something is interfering. Something is holding us back. And instead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ abiding in our heart, there is a storm, and he appears to go away." Now, this is really the condition of all of us. At one time or another in our lives, we will succumb. But we have to have heart. We have to realize that if are we truly spiritually paralyzed, then we must go to Christ at once, so our condition does not become worse. The medicine and the healing balm of salvation present in his holy church is something that is freely offered and freely received. Our concern in the church, and this is when we read like the hagiography of the saints and the patristic wisdom in various letters and so forth, we realize in one sense the church isn't always concerned necessarily with the external manifestation of the sin. It's going to happen in our world that's turned upside down. But instead, the church and its healing is focused on the inner world of man and what is causing these manifestations to take place. What are the vices, the temptations, or the passions that are rooted in our very souls? What are the diseases of soul that need to be brought to the surface so we can be healed? If we first analyze ourselves, perhaps go to our spiritual father or spiritual mother, talk to our parish priests, or someone else who is trusted in spiritual life, these things become more apparent. And if we have blind spots that we can't understand necessarily where all our maladies take root, by being open and unafraid before the cross of Christ, these frailties that we have will be put into the light. And at that point, that's when we can be healed of them. Oftentimes, there's different sins or inclinations or passions that we're just not even aware of. We may only see the physical manifestation of what that is. But if we practice watchfulness over the heart, which is very, very important in the spiritual life, we can start to see these maladies. We can identify them and, of course, seek their cure. Now, sin itself, of course, we know is a transgression. It's something that, I guess you could say, it's a self-inflicted condemnation of some sort, and it's a punishment that we freely choose ourselves. Where God grants us free will, we have the propensity to choose Him or to choose the fleshy appetites. And God does not violate our free will. So it's up to us to turn to Him. We have to realize that these sins that we have, especially the ones that are repeatable and we struggle with, it is self-condemnation. It's almost like a form of self-torture. We know indeed that if these things are unconfessed, or we hold on to them, or if we're embarrassed by them, they can grow. And almost like cancer, they spread in a spiritual sense. Because it's very difficult when a passion within the heart starts to grow, and we nurture that passion instead of nurturing, of course, the virtues. And if we understand that if the noose, the heart, the eye of the soul, the purest part of man, that is which is created in the image of God, and we seek to activate its likeness, if that becomes strangled with these dark inclinations, there's no room for the Holy Spirit to dwell there. So we want to fill the vessel of our very soul with the prosperity of the gospel itself. And those things are hope, love, of course, service to Christ in all its ways. And if that's what we cultivate, our heart will become pure. God will seek us. He will see that we are trying and we are reaching out and bearing our cross without grumbling. That is how we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and how we extinguish the sin that binds us. Truly look at it like a disease model. I like how the Orthodox Church doesn't necessarily see itself as judge and jury, but opens us up to the divine physician. Instead of a courtroom, it's more like a hospital, where each one of us is healed according to what we need, if we seek it. Vigilance on our part is necessary, and of course, lukewarmness is something that will perpetually kill the soul. We have to actively seek this out. This week I was reading a little bit about the struggle with sin and, you know, different parts of the spiritual life and how this applies to us that are in the trenches, myself and you, because we're all in the trenches together working out our salvation, being part of the church militant that is in this world. And I was reading an excerpt on this particular topic by Metropolitan Herotheos Flakos. I love reading his works because it breaks down much of the dogmatic and doctrinal teachings that we have. It makes it so it's easy to understand. And he was saying, essentially, that there are really kind of three diagnoses in the church. There's three types of men and women who are all in the physical walls of the church, but in different states. The first includes those that are, perhaps those that are unhealed in one way or another, those that are psychologically maimed, that are struggling, that even after baptism and being members of the church, they succumb perhaps to their old ways or their sin. And of course, they struggle. They feel far off from God. Now, this is something we should be aware of if we are in that boat, that we have to take that next step. He tells us that the second category are those that are in the process of cure. Those Christians who know their plight, they struggle. Oftentimes it appears to them in vain, but God sees them struggling and reaches to them. They have uncured passions themselves, but they have identified them, they confess them, and of course they have the body and blood of Christ in their, on their lips and in their mouth and in their hearts. They seek every effort to be cured in the Orthodox Church. They struggle, they are not perfected, but they still are on the path to salvation. And then he speaks of a third category. And this is what we all need to strive for. And this third category are the ones that have cured. Here belong the saints. These are the ones that have received the grace of the Holy Spirit, that have worked to clean their heart of impure thoughts and passions. They have, in one way, sought God, He has responded, and He has given them grace. They have true self-knowledge, they understand the purpose of their existence, and they are aware of their service to Jesus Christ. So with that kind of as a baseline, where do we fit into that? It's probably hard to self-diagnose, and it's often not a good idea. But we should see that we are all engaged in the struggle. That's the most important thing. And what is really important when we are engaged and we have practice attentiveness and watchfulness is to act upon it. And if we truly act upon it and work on the cure through the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ, we should have great joy, even if we are suffering, because we will be counted among the elect. Now, the first and foremost, the way this can be, I guess you could say, brought into our lives is through repentance. We can repent on a daily basis, of course. When we see that we have done something that is perhaps contrary to the gospel, at once we can make the sign of the cross and ask for God's forgiveness and turn our ways. Repentance begins, of course, in an instance. Secondary, when we evaluate what we've done throughout the course of the day in our evening prayers, once again, we can see the maladies that afflict us and turn once again to Almighty God. And third, perhaps most important, is to realize that under the soul, by the grace of God, we are healed of our transgressions. If we are truly repentant, God is quick to forgive. We have to understand that frequent confession is not just mechanical. And this is something I've seen in the past, and I try to coach some of those that are coming to confession that it's not something that you just do because you want to receive Holy Communion. Or, oh no, Father's not going to give me communion this week, or He's going to think something wrong if I don't go up. That's not what it is. We want to willfully go to Almighty God, confess our sins before Him, and truly be contrite. That's true repentance, not just going through the motions. We should step back and analyze our conscience, try to identify those things that are keeping us separated from Almighty God. Now, for the most part, we know that people would not, of course, neglect their physical needs if they had the flu, if they had a broken bone, a heart condition, something like this. They would, of course, seek medical treatment. They would go to their primary care physician, get a diagnosis, and hopefully some type of cure or some type of regimen to make them well. And this is precisely what the church has to offer. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is there if we will seek out the true cure in the hospital of souls, which is the Orthodox Church. St. Makarios the Great tells us, in order for us to turn to God and alleviate sin, that we must see this sin and see the evil that is there, that is so embedded in our sinning that we can do nothing about it without the help of God. It is impossible for us in our competence to truly uproot sin without the grace of the Holy Spirit. We may struggle, we continue to fight, we inflict blows, but there are many setbacks that are beyond our power. This is where we should have hope. We should seek the light. We should seek the kingdom of God and realize that we cannot be saved without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, in Isaiah the Psaltery tells us, my brothers and sisters, be attentive to yourself so that nothing destructive can separate you from the love of God. Guard your heart and do not grow listless and say, how shall I guard it since I am a sinner? For when a man abandons his sins and returns to God, his repentance regenerates him and renews him entirely. This is what we need to do. This is the struggle. When we approach God in repentance, We should do so with a contrite heart. We should forgive others around us, perhaps that have caused us harm. Try our best not to judge others. Examine our conscience. And most importantly, humble ourselves before God, asking for forgiveness. Now, this all sounds very bleak. It sounds like a course in the human condition that cannot be reversed. But the other part of the gospel is extremely joyful, as all the gospels are. Christ tells this man, it tells us, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." The afflicted man, once bogged down by his sin, which caused his paralysis, has been freed from the grips of that sin and the grips of the evil one. Satan, in his stronghold over this man, is diminished. The shackles that had bound this man are gone. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave him the great gift, and he bestows it upon us as well. Many saints that have come before us also walk this path. And there's one thing that we have to realize, that the saints all started somewhere. They were just like us. Sainthood is not necessarily something that starts in the next life, but it starts now, here. St. Paul, of course, was a persecutor of Christians. St. Moses the Black was a murderer. St. Cyprian was a sorcerer and pagan. St. Peter the Apostle denied our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not once or twice, but of course three times. And we see what became of them. They became luminous beacons of the church. We see people like St. Mary of Egypt, a prostitute, who engaged in sin and did so because she enjoyed it. What happened? She repented. She changed her ways, not just her mind, but her heart. And became a great saint of God. So let us look at these saints. Let us look at the gospel and change our ways. Our repentance will help us breed hope in our very hearts, cultivate love for our brethren, and to be at peace before Almighty God. My brothers and sisters, we have a choice. In this present life, each one of us must ultimately choose the kingdom in which we wish to be a part of, the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. One is eternal, full of hope, love, and sanctification, and the other is temporal, full of falsehoods, and will ultimately lead us to perdition. We cannot serve two masters, but only one, and the choice is ours. To serve Christ and the gospel, or to serve the passions, the inclinations, and the evil one. There's no other choice. Let us reclaim our lives from sin, and let us do this through repentance that is freely offered to us. Grace is indeed free, but we have to work for it and fight for it. Open up the doors of the very heart so we may be receptive to it. We need to turn to God and freely cooperate with this gift, the free gift that he has given us and will always give to us if we seek him out.